on the sixth article of the Creed reads, He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. I think it might be well to read what St. Luke tells us in his Acts of the Apostles about Christ's ascension. Remember, our Lord had just told them that he would send them the Holy Spirit. And the term that Christ used for the Holy Spirit was power. Power from on high. When he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments. They said, You men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, he'll come as you have seen him going up to heaven. First chapter of Acts, verses 9 to 11. St. Luke, as we know, is the evangelist of Mary, the evangelist of the Holy Spirit, the evangelist of God's mercy, and the evangelist who is most detailed in both his gospel and in his Acts of the Apostles. We begin by observing that no less than Christ's resurrection, so his ascension was an historical event. The disciples saw Jesus first speaking among them, and then his body rising above the ground. He rose toward the sky. Then a cloud hid Christ from the eyes of his disciples. And, well, he ascended into heaven. We read in St. Paul that he ascended above the heavens, which meant above all the stellar regions, and even above what we call all spiritual heavens. Because he returned to the Father, from whom he came. We are told by St. Luke that Jesus then ascended to the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Clearly, the right hand does not mean, well, the right arm of God the Father. When we speak of God, to be at the right hand of God is to be equal to God. To be seated at the right hand of the Father means that even as man, Christ possesses the highest perfection, of any creature ever made by God. Although all three persons created the human nature of Christ, only one person, the second person of the Trinity, took on the human nature. Remember, it was predicted about the Messiah, Isaiah. Let me give the place. Chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I will ascend into heaven, foretold Isaiah about the Messiah. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will be like the Most High. But let's be clear. Christ's ascension, first of all, does mean that Christ rose, left, if you wish, in his visible form, never, as I keep repeating, never say when Christ was on earth. That's what the Holy Eucharist means. Christ is on earth. He left the earth in visible form. Meaning what? It's the same identical Jesus. All the limitation is in us. We cannot with our bodily eyes see that Jesus on earth in his body. When Christ ascended into heaven, he ascended to the right hand of his heavenly Father, because, as again I never tire repeating, all the grace, three prepositions are part of our faith. All the grace that we have, all the grace we receive comes from God through the humanity of Christ to us, from, through, and to. Again, this is in Psalm 109, the first verse. And remember, Jesus applied this psalm to himself. David was the one who wrote the psalm. But then David is speaking. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That was one of Christ's professions of his own divinity. There are three persons in one God. God is only one nature. But God, as we've been saying, God is three individuals. The Trinity is not a personification. Not a metaphorical or symbolic description of the three main manifestations of the divine attributes of power, as though the first person merely symbolized God's power, as though the second person merely symbolized God's wisdom, as though third person merely symbolized God's love. Oh no, no symbolization here. God, I keep repeating, is a society, is a community. And that is, as we said at the beginning and will continue repeating, God is love because within the Godhead there are three persons, each sharing with the other the totality of their one divine nature. However, God became man in the second person of the Trinity, and even as we commonly associate, there are some people, I'm sure among you, who right hand depend on your left hand, but generally speaking, it's the right hand. It is through Christ that God communicates the light we need and the strength, the light to know the truth and the strength to choose the good. Which good? The good of God. The good that God has revealed to us is good. Why good? Because it leads us to our heavenly destiny. We go on. Why did Christ ascend into heaven? Over the centuries, the Church has given us reasons for every mystery of our faith. And as I've said, in one word, to understand our faith means to know the reason why. Why did Christ ascend into heaven? Because heaven was, first of all, where Christ, being God, where he belonged. We not only may but must say, Christ went home. However, his going home, remember, it is now Christ. It is the God-man. Prior to the ascension, there was, of course, a heaven. There were a dozen standard definitions of heaven. One that I like. Heaven is where the presence of God is enjoyed. Heaven is where the presence of God is enjoyed. That is why Augustine, in commenting on the Lord's Prayer, says, when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, we are first of all praying to the God who is within us, of whose presence we are conscious, and whose will is united with our will, and ours with his. though on earth we are to be, what a statement, by anticipation, living in heaven. Of course, all the angels and saints are also in heaven, but they did not reach heaven as Christ did. Even the angels, they commonly, but not with theological accuracy, say that the angels who sinned fell from heaven. Once you reach heaven, no danger. No danger of being driven out of or falling from heaven. Christ as God did not have to merit ascension into heaven. He belonged in heaven. Moreover, no less than he rose from the dead by his own divine power. There are, as I've said, two kinds of statements about Jesus in the Gospels. Statements in which he refers to himself as God, like the Father and I are one. But other statements in which Christ is speaking as man. He just said in the last meditation, when the startled, astounded apostles blink their eyes. This can't be Jesus. They told him, all right. Have you got something to eat? This was Christ clearly not speaking as God. God needs nothing. A good theological definition of God. The being who needs nothing. When he asked, do you have some food? He was speaking as man. When he spoke during his agony, I keep coming back to that quotation. Not my will but thine be done. Speaking to his heavenly Father. He was talking as man. Christ, as God, did not have to merit or earn heaven. Heaven is where he belonged. But as man, Christ, and we have to say this, Christ earned heaven. Christ was glorified. One of my favorite adages from the saints. Christ was glorified because he had been crucified. How we need to hear that. We too, please God, will be glorified, provided here on earth we accept our crucifixion. Again, over the centuries, the saints speak of Christ's ascension into heaven as his victory, as a victory over the devil, as a victory over the world. Question. Did Christ as a man have a fallen human nature? Shake your heads. This way or this way? Did Christ have a fallen human nature? Thanks. No. Christ's ascension into heaven, therefore, was his victory. Victory over the evil spirit and victory over the world. Christ joined the church militant. Whether we know it or not, whether we realize it or not, we have all been conscripted into military service. And the purpose of every war is, you know, what else? To win it. Like Christ, we have to battle with the devil. I think I've shared this with you more than once. The chief exorcist of Rome, in my conversation with him some time ago, I asked him, how come you here have all kinds of possessed people? On a busy day, he told me, he will have 15 exorcisms come from different parts of Europe to be delivered from the devil. And that can go on for months. More than once, I have been asked, strongly urged, to get faculties to exercise, well, my priestly powers as an exorcist. I have worked with possessed people, but I've never taken on, shall I call it, the job of a professional exorcist. And one reason is, it's so time-consuming. The exorcist told me, and I'm not quoting his exact words, but equivalently, he said, Father, you say you don't have possessions in the United States. Your nation is possessed. Not to know, how shall I say, laborious, how ambitious, and how phenomenally successful the devil is in our country, is to be purblind. That's spelled P-U-R-B-L-I-N-D, totally blind. Death came into the world through the devil. The devil is the father of lies. As I've said so many times, quoting Marshall McLuhan, the philosopher of the media, our modern media are engaged, hear it, in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. What can you trust in the daily papers? Zero. Well, the devil, as Christ tells us, he is also a murderer from the beginning, having taught comparative religion for over 30 years, Hinduism, Buddhism, you name it. The massive murder of millions, United States, the word is millions of unborn children. I was finishing my doctoral studies in biochemistry. I know the chemical formation of contraceptives. There may be some, I don't know of a single one, of some 30 contraceptives in my standard list. It is not also an abortifacient. That does not kill the child if, in spite of the drug, the child is conceived. What then was Christ's ascension? It was a victory, first over the devil. It was a victory over the world. Ah. But hear it, and polish up your faith. Christ's ascension was a victory over the world. And how did Christ win his victory over the world? What was Christ's weapon? Christ's weapon was the cross. And the cross, as I never tire repeating, is not mainly a noun. It is mainly a verb. The divine will. Crossing our human will and then telling us to surrender. Unlike us, Christ did not have a fallen human nature. And we are to go to heaven following Christ on our, as we called it, last day, but I keep repeating in the church's vocabulary, it is the first day. Our lives here on earth, what a safe statement. Our dark night, we are groping in the dark, living by faith. Our victory, we are to join Christ, who is in heaven waiting for us, must be a third victory over our concupiscence, over that memory scheme, remember, places G, victory over our pride, over our lust, anger, covetousness, envy, sloth, and gluttony. There's a retreat. And whatever else we should do during a retreat is be honest with God and face up to, admit that having a fallen human nature, we have fallen. We have given in to pride. We have given in to lust. We have given in to anger. And so on. Now on the list of what we call the capital sins, but are really the capital sinful drives of our fallen, I prefer falling, human nature. In a word, we must win the battle against ourselves. Let no one tell you you cannot love your enemies. Our worst enemy is who? No one has been more unkind to us. No one has had thoughts against us. No one has done us more damage than we to ourselves. Our wills, and get it, are our wills. And this, in one word, is a synthesis of Catholic, authentically, honest-to-God Catholicism. It is our will. And that really is naturally rebellious. It is not naturally submissive to the will of God. Talk about taming wild animals. Give me a lion or a tiger any day compared to some people's wills. All of this is locked up in Christ's ascension into heaven as a victory. One more lesson from Christ's ascension. His ascension was a reward for his humility. In the language of all nations, heaven is said to be above, and hell is said to be below. We know that language of high and low, or higher and lower, symbolizes what we know. In other words, our natural tendency is to self-admiration, to self-adulation, to self-assertion. I have 10 A's. I'll be satisfied with 4 here to identify this self. Finally, we are all, no exceptions, beginning with the speaker, naturally prone to self-adoration. Now, there is one truth that Pope John Paul II, I almost want to say brutally clear in explaining in his encyclical, The Splendor of the Truth. In one nation after another, especially the academically developed nations, The United States is the most academically developed nation in the world. Says the Holy Father, each person's will in these developed nations has become the final norm of morality. There would not have been a Nietzsche, the German philosopher, less preceding him, there had been an Immanuel Kant and a Hegel. And then, whom did Nietzsche inspire? Two men. We don't commonly associate these two. Hitler and Stalin. Hitler was an avid reader of Nietzsche. In Nietzsche's philosophy, there is no God out of myself. But to get down to earth, some time ago, Doubleday sent me a thick catalog. I would say 150 pages. Each page had a publisher all over the nation, advertising books they were selling on the New Age movement. Now, thousands of books on the New Age movement. And the heart of the New Age movement is the denial of a God outside of man. Each man in his mind and in his will is a God to himself. This, my friends in Christ, is why we're having this retreat. Thank God most people don't realize how deep has been the penetration. I don't call it a godless philosophy. Oh no, oh no. It's not atheism. It is egoism. Each one of us is a God to himself. And that, I repeat, our Holy Father, about whom his teachers at the Angelicum when Wojtyła was a graduate student in Rome, the brightest man ever taught at the Angelicum. They were embarrassed to give him only a summa cum laude. How we need to know, and I mean understand, the depths to which countries like ours have descended. If then we are to ascend with Christ to heaven, we must, and this is the church's teaching over the centuries on why Christ ascended into heaven, to teach us that unless we are humble, deeply, profoundly humble, we shall not reach heaven, and certainly not as, well, contemporaries of a society which is deified, each person in himself. And we return to where we were speaking. The key is to see we have a free will for one purpose, not to do our own will, but to surrender our will to the God from whom we came. Mary, Mother of God, obtain for us from Jesus something of your humility, so that like you, believing as you told us, that God exalts the humble, that we may ascend to your Son and join him in heaven above, because we have been authentically humble here below. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now there will be confessions, and then Mass at 12 o'clock.